Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
76, our most...
76.
Our most patriotic Fuck You Britain podcast ever. I don't know. That song has like five verses, by the way. You ever see the video where a woman goes to a baseball game and sings... like, she sings four of the five and people start getting pissed.
Oh,
someone's
wow.
Like, is that even English? Oh, God. People are stupid.
Yeah.
So, let's talk. We got a lot of questions to get through, so we should probably bang out the week real quick.
Yeah.
I know last night I saw a little play.
Awesome.
It was, yeah, well, you know, you were in it, so.
Oh, well,
if you have
of
not.
Of course it was awesome.
So, I saw Evan and Bobby last night. Which is a twisted Christmas carol that we talked about on a previous podcast with Beau Pritchard. We discussed, I think, a lot about the trouble, like the difficulties of putting a play like this on.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, don't go to this play expecting a Christmas happy fun time.
No.
It is not meant for that.
No.
So.
No.
It is.
I think as you put in the Facebooks last night after seeing it, and he needed to take a shower.
Yes, yes. I think I said it is the feel-bad play of the season, but in a good way. It is. It's an important message, and it tells it in a way that makes you understand it's not a fucking joke.
Yeah.
This is serious, and this is what people go through. And wow, very powerful.
It was nice having, I will give a shout out to Brett Love. I mean, a number of people were there. Brophy
right.
was there, and a lot of Tacoma people, Aaron Chanfrau, Scott Campbell, Bree, Maggie Knott, some of Jen's friends.
Cool.
We've had a lot of people, but Brett Love, who sees like 300 shows a year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always supporting the arts. We had a conversation afterwards, and he was like, you know, this is a really important message, and it worked. You know, this is how you would contemporize a Christmas carol for today.
Mm-hmm. It is, because...
I mean, you could pick a number of things, but none of them would really ring with the same poignancy
right.
of the original...
Right.
As this subject matter does.
Well, we don't even have, like, real slumlords anymore.
No.
All the people that own your property live in either a different state or a different country. Like,
yeah.
Like, most of these shitty, like, substandard...
Hilltop.
Yeah. Most of these shitty substandard living... I don't want to call them apartments. I don't want to call them homes because they barely are.
Living establishments.
Yeah.
Blocks. Dwelling units.
Yeah, exactly. These are run by people who you will never see the face of the person who actually runs it. So Scrooge, as a landlord, doesn't make a lot of sense anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, and I wish we'd talked with Beau about this, but we had a lot to get through last week, or the week before last. Sorry, and we're back. We talked about initially making this a one percenter kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and because I mean that is the logical step, right? Is to
Yeah.
Is to go to the kind of 1% thing and talk about people. But those people are not... You can't climb into that persona as anyone but that type of person.
Right.
Scrooge makes sense to people, right? From the old Christmas Carol, Scrooge makes sense because he's a guy who had a bad childhood, who had some bad shit happen to him, and instead of... persevering, he let it sour him. He became terrible, and he was ultimately redeemable. The one percenters, that's the life they want.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you're not gonna go like, but what about these happy times you had? They're gonna be like, fuck you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go set a yacht on fire because it's Tuesday. Whatevs. They don't care. So you had to make it something more like the story that ultimately came out of Evan and Bobby, where, you know, it's a venture capital company that was kind of built to separate his name
mm-hmm.
from his father's name and to kind of get out from under that lifestyle, actually.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it turns out he's just a terrible human being. And how many more shows? Four?
We have Industry Night tomorrow, Monday mm-hmm. night, and then we have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
So three more shows for the public. Get your asses to Brown
no,
Paper.
No, four shows to the public. It's just that okay. Monday is a, quote, industry night because
right.
other theater people aren't doing shows on Mondays.
Right. And they get in for like half off or something like that? Or no discount for industry night?
I have no idea.
I don't know how it works.
I don't control that. I just show up and say my lines.
Industry night at a burger joint, you get half off.
Oh.
So if you're a food handler, you get half off. I don't know if it's the same. Anyway, that being said, get to Brown Paper Tickets. Buy your fucking ticket. If you came to the show already, you get in free with your existing ticket. So bring a friend, as long as a friend pays for their ticket. Bring a friend,
yeah.
come back, see it again. But go see this show because, frankly, I think this might be something that's repeatable. I
mm-hmm.
think this might be a show that, you know, we'll take the feedback, we'll kick it around a little bit, and we'll have an even better show next year out of it. So...
But next year, let's do it at Halloween or sometime that's
yeah.
not Christmas.
Well,
it's like Annie. Annie said at Christmas. Took me forever to realize that Annie
mm-hmm.
takes place during Christmas, but you never see it at Christmas time.
Right.
Let's do the same with this because
okay.
it's
well,
depressing
also...
enough trying to go to the mall.
That is true. That is true. You're not exactly cheerful for humanity after this play
no.
either. So maybe like right before Black Friday is the right time.
Ooh, yeah.
Though,
Thanksgiving would be fine,
ooh,
just not Christmas.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Let's be thankful for the lives we do have
exactly.
and that we don't have that life.
Exactly. My week was spent, and I want to talk to you about this, whether or not we should actually leave the live feed running after the podcast is over. I wrote a skit for Dead FM.
Mm.
So I've already got Brian Bender's part of it, and I am super excited to continue working with Brian Bender as much as possible.
Yeah.
He is he's fucking stellar and very, very pleased with his caller in this skit. So we get to be gnomes. And
oh, yes.
Yes. So we're going to record a little skit to throw on Dead FM. If you haven't, we talked about it obviously already, but Dead FM is Dead Gentleman's new podcast, and that Dead Gentleman net is wider. It's including the newer folks.
Mm-hmm.
So... a lot of skits, a lot of comedy, some news,
music.
It's a much more sort of entertainment-based podcast than this one. So go to deadfm.com or Stitcher or iTunes or Windows Store or what's the Android one? Podcast with an exclamation. I don't know. Basically, if your favorite podcast player doesn't have it, submit it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the RSS link on the Dead FM site, so submit it to your favorite podcast app. And if you already use one of the big ones, it's out there.
Yeah.
So dead.fm, subscribe, please subscribe, and please share, because we have zero budget for advertising, nothing. And this one is a heavy, heavy entertainment podcast, so this is a situation where Dead Gentlemen could potentially get a Patreon or something like that set up and actually make funds to make more shows.
Yeah.
So highly recommend go to Dead FM, listen, share.
And to address Paula Moran's mm-hmm. Question prematurely, because we hadn't gotten to it yet, but no, Dead FM is not going to replace Two Bards.
Not
it
even
is
a little.
Just another place for us to... and Andy and I have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not be co-branded on Dead FM, but we're going to do some stuff for Dead FM.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to keep some stuff for us.
Yes.
So,
a good example is the skit that I wrote now
mm-hmm.
makes sense on Dead FM.
Right.
It doesn't make sense on the podcast we've created.
Right.
And Dead FM is frankly just a better place to sort of put this kind of stuff because it even sounds in your head. It sounds more like... some kind of repository for humorous
right.
stuff. It's more of an entertainment-y, you know, it's a channel.
It's a
distribution channel.
And we've talked to them about getting Two Bards also linked up there. and the casting pods and, you know, some other ones that Dead Gentlemen can get behind, but also having that as just another place for folk to find us. Yes, and if you haven't listened, go back and listen to the Bob Ross call-in questions, because we got to find more of that shit.
Well, I
another
made it,
suggestion,
so.
Sesame Street should still be public domain. I'm pretty sure we could find some ripe stuff off of that.
Well, so parody is fully protected.
Right.
So we can grab a lot of this stuff and make parody out of it. That's how Jimmy Kimmel gets away with like the unnecessary censorship stuff because it's parody. It falls straightly, you know, they don't pay for that.
Right.
They get it and it's, you know, it falls into parody. So.
But we could also find some equally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
disturbing reinterpretations of some sound bites.
How many partners is too many in a single evening? One.
Two.
Three. It'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Three.
And what's her name with the lamb?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shirley. Not McClane. No. I fucking forget it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that's Sherry Lewis. Sherry Lewis, not Jerry Lewis.
Not Jerry Lewis.
Sherry
no.
Lewis. Sherry Lewis.
Oi, flame. Nice lady poison. I'm glaven.
So I think we should probably just jump into questions at this point, because we've got a lot. And there's going to be a couple of rants here, I feel like.
Possibly.
Looks like Dennis Nickel is putting up a one with a little bit of nerd rage that is out in the real world. I think it's going to be a really quick one, though, because I do not share that nerd rage.
Right. So. Yeah. Rob McLennan.
Hey, Rob.
Writes in, do either of you do anything crafty? By that, I mean basket weaving crafty. Crafty, not Lex Luthor plotting to take over the world crafty. For example, I make costume grade chainmail, functional archery bows out of PVC pipe, and I'm slowly getting into leatherworking.
Well,
we build computers.
Crafty. A couple of crafty. So crafty is on set means craft services, by the way, who supply food and snacks and whatnot.
We've done crafty.
Yeah, we have. Not catering. Catering is different.
Yep.
Catering is usually a service, but crafty is an on-set, hired by the set type of person who stocks yogurts and nuts and has to deal with people going, is this gluten-free? Is this gluten and sugar? Is this gluten, soy, sugar, and free of any lactose? Is this gluten, lactose, sugar, soy, and what is this? It's air.
It's air.
Oh, good. Perfect. Thank you.
It's a bag of air just for you.
Oh, apparently Frito-Lay is supplying our bags now.
Yes.
That's a joke about their portions, which are actually quite huge in the U.S., so that's not really a good joke. And the air is to keep you from eating dust. Because if you don't have air, as we learned, from Rob's care package, which apparently on the airplane, those bags are a little high pressure. So a couple of them, we had some dust. It was really tasty.
We had some compressed dust. Yeah.
It was tasty dust. So we make computers. I do some electronic stuff. Obviously, Aaron is big time into crafts.
Yeah.
And whatnot. But I do a lot of work with like NeoPixels and Arduino and stuff for fun. I haven't done anything really like substantial with it. I did used to do a little more. I did some foam work. I use it as sculpt every once in a while. But no, not really. Computers.
I used to do the lanyard and the Dross floss wristbands.
The friendship bracelets. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do the friendship bracelets and then the whistle lanyards that would do the spiral thing and they'd slide. And I've forgotten how to do any of that shit, but I used to. It was great because I could just click onto something and do this and then just zone out and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden I have this, you know, Eiffel Tower around my neck and it was amazing.
Did you use a safety pin in your jeans? That's what I always did.
Yes.
Safety pin in the jeans, in the knee of the jeans. It's got to be over the knee so that you can get that tension though.
Yep. Yep. It's got to be, below the knee.
And then one of the cool tricks is when you're knotting it, if you tense the top rope and gently pull the bottom rope, it reverses the colors.
Mm.
So you can make like different types of. Basically, what you can do is you can make a bracelet all one color, except for another color that you can write with or do, you know, patterns with and stuff like that. I used to make those a lot.
Latch hook. I used to do latch hook. And
now
then
that's paint by numbers for yarn people, right?
Ish.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have the pattern on the on the already punched out thing, and then you latch the color. I also made my own string art.
What's string art?
You have that picture on like the tissue paper, and you put all the nails in the board, and then you do the string, and so you get that.
Right.
It's like spectrograph in reality, 3D spectrography.
Yeah, stuff. I used to make those. They were terrible, but it was like a little weaving square, and you had these sort of Lycra bands,
mm-hmm.
and you can make potholders and blankets and shit with this little weaving square. I used to do that when my grandma was like busy, and she's like, "Ah, just do this." She didn't sound like that, but you know, you get the picture.
Yeah.
So, but not so much anymore. I don't do enough crafty stuff anymore. I feel like I want to.
You used to do a lot of woodworking, but I don't have a garage to do that in anymore, so. But it did.
Well, I know. When I hear woodworking, all I can think of is one of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite Christmas movies, Bad Santa, when the kid cuts his hand making a wooden pickle. Which is just a piece of wood he kind of loosely carves into a pickle shape.
And I think of Ron Swanson making a crib for Rob Lowe.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe needs a crib.
Or if you haven't seen it, go find the Nick Offerman emoticons.
Yes.
Hand carved, 15 pounds each. Oh, it's amazing.
Also, and I think we've already plugged this before, but we're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, go find the narrator on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
Which is Nick Offerman narrating a Western, and it is one of the funniest 8 or so minutes of YouTube. Period.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, there's also a great Nick Offerman Home Depot. I think it's a Conan O'Brien bit, but he's he works at Home Depot, and it's Home Depot salespeople as your marital counselor, and it is, it's tasty.
Mm. So, well, that's one of my favorite Parks and Rec moments ever. Is Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson walking into Home Depot. Anything I can help you with? Son, I know more than you. Just bam.
Yes.
Cool. So let's keep going with questions.
Okay. Any on the
board before Rob McClellan said, forgot about the big table starving artists, stuff their pockets from, and I don't know what that means. Are we talking about, I think that might be in response to the Dead FM stuff. Forgot about the big table starving artists stuff their pockets from.
Oh, he's talking about craft services.
Oh,
crafty table.
Right.
Yeah, because everything's packaged, so you get all the granola bars.
And that's
Capri
Suns. as a day player, that's how a lot of people eat.
Yes.
Like, that's true. Good point, Rob.
We got to have Shelton and Van He on because they were working on, I want to say it was the Z Nation.
Sounds
right. It might have been something else, but some day player came in.
Oh boy.
And into hair and makeup and was like diva-ing out. And then they ended up calling him Cream Cheese because apparently he was getting after craft services for not having cream cheese for his bagel or something. Like he was Tom Everett Scott, lead in the series, and he's like a day playing extra, going, "Where's my hair and makeup? Where's my food? Where's
Well, that's a way not
day
to get,
players
ever work
have,
again.
Yeah, day players have their own crafty table. It's called a bag of M&Ms and a bag of pretzels.
It's a bag
and
of
a water cooler.
It's a bag of M&Ms and sit the fuck down.
Yeah,
until you're called. The thing
fun
is,
size probably.
Yeah. The thing is, it's a really aggressive business being those background actors because you fight. A lot of times background actors will get a line and you fight for that because if you get that, that's another check. That's another check in for a long
time. Now you're a featured extra.
Now you're a featured extra, which means you get residuals. And I know people who get 9, 10, 11 residual checks and that's actually how they live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't make a ton of money by working all the time. They just, they work their way into some small speaking roles and things that get a lot of play. So,
yeah, my residual from Safety Not Guaranteed is finally in the single digit before taxes.
Wow.
So,
$8.
And I am no longer getting dinner.
Right.
I am getting a cheeseburger, a $1 cheeseburger at McDonald's type of residual. But hey, you know, for 4 years.
Yeah, that's not bad.
A $25 check here and there in the mail was a really nice thing.
Well, that's why you go for the TV shit up in Vancouver.
Yeah,
you get on you get a line on a couple of TV shows in the background, and those end up on like TNT or some shit being rerun all the time. Like, if you can get like a CSI,
because
they just run those shows constantly
on five different syndicated networks.
Yeah, and it's
Lifetime
not
the, yeah. and TNT.
It's not as much money per residual check as like a movie is, but it's way more frequent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that stay the fuck away from the craft table. Just be happy to be involved. No, hey, eat your stuff, especially if you're hypoglycemic. But don't be a dick about it. Come on.
Yeah. It was, but yeah, I should have Sean tell the story because it's awesome.
Well, I really hope that they ran out of hot water when he had to get out of makeup.
I hope they did too. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Paula Moran writes in, what is your favorite reliving youthful fun activity, i.e. reading your old kids' books or playing with Legos, etc.?
Well, video games for me are always, especially retro games, always a kind of a fun thing. I do read old stuff occasionally, and I'll go watch old episodes of cartoon shows. That's a lot of fun. In fact, I got to introduce, because you know, like, I am right in the middle of the two major age groups for the actors in this town. You've got people who are a little bit older, which you're like right on the bottom of, and then you know. No, I'm just saying.
I'm on the bottom end of a little bit older,
which means you're kind of older. Right. And then you've got the 20-somethings, which are your Connors and your Keeters and all of those people. I'm more in the David Hogan age range, but I don't work with David Hogan very often, so I don't get exposed to that. So I get to introduce my 80s, like mid-80s pop culture to people. In both of those groups, because they either missed it or were not born yet.
I'm going to guess one of them.
Okay.
Gargoyles.
Oh, dude, Gargoyles is early 90s, and that was fucking awesome. And I have not... that.
They're all out on YouTube.
Yeah, they're all out on YouTube for free. Legally.
Yep.
Legally. Let's make sure that is, like, appreciated. I don't remember. I don't think it was Funimation, but one of the companies that owns the right to distribute put them on YouTube. Awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely go watch Gargoyles. I want to actually buy them on DVD. So they're and if you like Star Trek: The Next Generation, definitely watch Gargoyles.
Yeah,
because
it's got
literally everybody from Next Gen does a guest spot on there at some point. Jonathan Frakes is the main bad guy, I think.
He's the main gargoyle.
No, one main gargoyle is.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's the. Even looks like him.
He's got the goatee and stuff. And I think Marina Sirtis is in it a couple of times. And it's great. Just go fucking watch Gargoyles. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But no, I got to introduce Connor Marks to He-Man. He had never seen the He-Man intro. And I was telling him, no, Nicki Minaj really wore the Prince Adam costume. And he's like, I don't know. What? And so we watched the He-Man intro. And then, of course, we had to watch the What's Going On fan film with Four Non Blondes cover with Prince Adam and He-Man. It was awesome. It was so much fun.
Did you introduce him to the live action He-Man movie?
I will choke you out. I will choke you out.
It exists.
Yeah, it's got Dolph Lundgren in it.
I know.
And Billy Barty, I think, was the little Keymaster guy. It was terrible.
Oh yeah. It was
fucking awful.
It was like Kiss meets Phantom of the Park.
I did like how Skeletor looked, but frankly.
Yeah.
Terrible movie.
Yeah.
He-Man and the Masters, do not know. It's terrible. It came out like when all of those terrible movies came out.
Yep.
Garbage Pail Kids and fucking like Howard the Duck and all that stuff. They all came, well, okay. I like Howard the Duck. This may remove me from certain lists of people. Howard the Duck.
One of George Lucas's best films.
It's the best George Lucas film after Star Wars, after Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that, hands down. I liked it.
Yeah.
Tim Robbins was in it. Nobody even remembers, but he was in it. Yeah. It was great. Marty McFly's mom. In the weirdest and most sexually confusing scene I have ever watched on film, when she tries to seduce Howard.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what to feel.
Yeah.
Because first of all, it was like one of the first movies where a woman is crawling around in panties for like a really extended period of time, making moves on a goddamn
Who isn't Tawny Katane?
Who isn't Tawny Katane? Fucking Whitesnake. So, I don't know. We're off the rails on this one.
We are.
Where did we go? Yes, kid stuff.
Youthful fun activity, Tawny Katane.
Yeah, youthful fun. Well, I mean, that was my youth, man. When I was... So, my brother was a guest of the state for a while when I was really young. So, I would sneak in and steal his Playboys. This is when I was about 4.
Mm-hmm.
Just steal them all. He had a bunch of these old Penthouse comic issues that I was really I really liked those. Had an entire subscription to heavy metal.
Yeah.
Now keep in mind this would have been 1980 that I was stealing these magazines and just hiding them in my closet, and I was very interested in them. So yeah, it works. It's a
Wendy. Ah, damn it! What was the fucking name of that comic? Oh, Wendy, it was something. Wendy something.
Are you talking about Lost Girls?
No, I'm talking about the Penthouse comic.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah,
I remember. There were a few. Like, there was one that had Stormtrooper penises. Not Stormtrooper, Shock Trooper, like SS.
Okay,
not Stormtrooper penises.
Pretty sure that they would not have had Stormtrooper penises. That would have been... George Lucas would have reached out and...
Slapped someone. In fairness, look at their helmets. It's already done.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, aren't you a little short for a short?
I was going to the same joke. That is,
you know what? There you go, ladies. I don't like saying ladies, but I'll say it anyway. You want to shut down that neck beard fucking bothering you at a con? Look at his crotch and say, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Yep, that'll do the trick. For me, part of reliving my youth is through my cousins now.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, my nephews. Not my cousins. And so they have all the Nerf guns I never had as a kid. Mm. But I'm excited. They're getting to the age where we can now play with Erector sets. And I love building with all of that. And I think I had my dad's set. So that was a 50s. So this is going to be like a 50-year-old.
That's the kind you can fucking sharpen and stab someone with.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They're the dangerous, you know, you can get your finger caught in the open exposed gears for the motor type of, it teaches you life lessons. Keep your fingers away from shit. It looks really enticing. You want to put it there. And then you go, nah. You learn that. It was like how I learned to like electricity. My
101 electrical experiments.
No, it was the train.
Oh,
so,
right.
So I had the train and then you had that box. That had the screw bits that you would...
You can shock other shit with, yeah.
And you'd have the lights and the crossing guards, and then you'd put all four fingers over all of the terminals, and it'd be like, oh, what's that feeling? 9-volt batteries. Okay, same sort of... But on a different level. And then you'd learn what 110 is, really, that doesn't have a thing, and you go, okay, I'm done with electricity.
Okay, so... I don't know what was wrong with me as a kid, but I was convinced that if I every night stuck my finger in the light socket, I would get superpowers, right? I'm 5'6" at this point. So fucking every night for like, I'm just lucky I wasn't a little bit more conductive because I think I would have died because that's a straight one. And I would stick my finger in the light socket and turn it on and.
Oh my goodness.
I never got superpowers. Very upset about that.
Okay.
Fucking Jamie Foxx got him.
Because
he got, like, electric eels. That was so stupid.
Yeah.
That was no offense, Spider-Man folks, but your movies are sucking hard. Andrew Garfield, awesome.
Yes.
J. Jonah Jameson from the first set, awesome. Like the best. Like, that's why he hasn't been in it again. Because unless they can get J.K. Simmons,
mm-hmm.
they know they cannot have a good J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. No.
Fucking, he was perfect.
Yeah. Nobody's going to touch him.
But your movies suck. Electric Eels, really. So I actually had one of the 101 Electrical Experiment sets. And I don't know what's wrong with me. First of all, I made my own arc welder when I was like about 7. I taped one of those wall warts.
Mm-hmm.
I taped a ground wire in it, and I taped a wire on the outside of it with a bunch of electrical tape, and then I put a dime.
Oh, like I man! Taped a
dime on the live wire, and you could arc weld stuff
mm-hmm.
because the zinc on the dime would melt. So, that was fun. But when I was about 10, I got one of the 101 experiments with electricity, and I just stripped a cord and. Instead of batteries, I didn't know anything about the math involved. And so I ran the cord to the positive and negative terminals on the battery slot and plugged it into the wall. That's when I first learned that fire can be blue. And I mean, every cap on that board popped. And if you've ever seen a cap pop, they bloom. The top get so hot inside, the top pops open.
It's like the blue popcorn. Flame.
Yeah, and it smells terrible. It's awful.
Not good for you either.
No, it's the stuff inside them. There's an oil inside of them, and it's like PCB, polychlorophenol. I don't know.
Whatever, bad stuff.
Yeah, they have it in transformers.
Pretty caustic, bad stuff.
Yeah, PCB. They actually used to dump them in San Francisco Bay, the old transformers. Or no, I'm sorry, Hudson Bay. So the other side of the country, they had to put a big ban on them and actually go clean up a bunch because lobsters were coming out. With this PCB oil in them,
mm-hmm.
and it causes you to get like this nasty oily acne and all sorts of problems. Your joints get fucked up. Read Zodiac.
Well,
also, Seth responded to you. Wicked Wands is the name of the comic, he thinks.
Oh, Wicked Wanda.
Wicked Wanda. Oh, yeah. Yes. It says
Wanda. Oh, Wicked Wanda.
I'm really far away from this.
Yeah. For us to go into my superpowers as a child, that's going to have to be Two Bards After Dark, which will never happen. So,
right.
Sorry, folks. You don't get to figure out what sick, twisted, demented thing I did as a child to get superpowers. Rob McLennan writes, any opinions on the Star Wars Episode 7 trailers? How I just segued right
into
that.
Are we... let's see.
We did the favorite. I got to go in reverse order.
Okay. So, I... liked it, okay. I it's not a trailer, it's a teaser. There's not enough information in that thing to make anything. The one thing I'll say is John is probably playing a lead. That's really cool.
John.
John Boyega, is that right?
Oh, okay.
The first stormtrooper you see. That's not the only. You see a lot of stormtroopers.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first stormtrooper you see. May not be a stormtrooper and is likely a lead, and I think that's really cool. Overall, I will say that I am on the it's stupid side of the lightsaber battle. I don't care what Stephen Colbert says.
I've not seen that yet.
The reason being, his explanation is that the crystal refracts in the center of the lightsaber, and so the beams are actually all connected. But if you look at the actual freeze frame of it, they're obviously, because they've got the slight divot, they're being sourced at the hilt pieces. So it's kind of a dumb design. Someone made a much better design of a hilted lightsaber that was fucking brilliant, where you twist the generators around and they go up like this. And that's brilliant because it angles them away from your body but still catches the beam. And I really hope they change. This is all digital.
Yeah.
For the lightsaber, it's all digital. The rest of it is... there's a lot of practical in this, and that I love, but that lightsaber scene is all digital. And you've got fans making fake lightsabers over the existing footage. They can change it.
Lightsaber was pretty amazing.
I saw a GIF image going around. It's been on the internet forever, in internet terms. Where a guy walks in and puts down a chair and says, this is going to be good. Someone did that and they made a lightsaber chair in his hand, taking out the rest of the lightsaber, and you don't see any artifacting. Like, there are video professionals out there doing this as fan fun. Mm-hmm. So it's totally... He may not choose to fix it. He may choose to fix it. He may not have any say over it at all. It may be effects and the studio that get the final decision on how the lightsaber looks. But they've got a year, so I'm not counting it out yet.
I also like the teaser trailer as done by George Lucas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even more epic.
Extra, extra, extra everything. Womp rats everywhere.
Yes.
Fucking Bantha. It was,
yeah. But having seen the teaser...
Whatever the bald lizard Bantha are.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen. It's at least got me still on the... there is hope for this yet.
A new hope.
A new hope.
For this yet. It feels more like the teasers for the old movies by far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did watch the teaser for Phantom Menace again. And you know what? It was a good teaser. When you didn't know that 80% of the movie was going to be fucking pod racing, it was a good teaser.
Yeah.
When you find out 80% of the movie is fucking pod racing, you're like, God, just fuck. God, no. No. I don't even hate Jar Jar Binks as much as everyone does, frankly. I just don't care. What I hated was the retconning all of the old characters and just shoving them in to make fans happy for a second because your writing just wasn't as good as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry, your plagiarizing wasn't as good. And I'm like, dude, George, go back to plagiarizing. Seriously, your original stuff sucks. Go back to ripping off Japanese movies, to ripping off old serials. You're good at that. And you know what? We don't care. It doesn't have to be original. Just go out and give us these stories that you're really good at finding and adapting. I'll take it. So, anyway, that's my rant there. But as far as the teaser goes, there's just not enough to make any decision whatsoever in terms of whether or not it's going... Like, it is not going to impact my preconceptions at all at this stage. Aside from getting me excited about Star Wars. Which is fine, because I have three movies that I would love to watch again... sitting on my shelf. You know, I have the ones that were re-released after the special edition, before the super special edition, where the second disc is actually the non-anamorphic, but the second disc is the theatrical cut with no remastering at all.
Mm-hmm.
What a dick, by the way. That's a dick move, George. You could have at least pulled them off of Laserdisc and made better, but he just was like, fuck you, here you go.
We're going to pull off my Laserdisc.
I was going to say, and we do have the Laserdisc version, which is still, hands down, the best version.
Yeah.
By a long shot.
We need to do that.
THX remastering, one special effect change, the planet.
I have nephews that need to see the good version. Mm-hmm.
Or we just have parties with the Laserdiscs, which is also fun. We could have a 90s party or an 80s party.
We could.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And you have, is there a question on
Nope,
okay. You have segued quite nicely into Dennis Nichols' question.
Mm-hmm.
Since remakes are such a big thing these days, what remake would the two bars prefer to do if you had the opportunity and resources to do it right? Haven't we
I feel like we've done this before.
Jeez, Dennis. Fucking listen to the fucking podcast.
I know what I would do right now, though.
Oh, that's right, you did. In a binge.
It's the right time to do this remake because the first movie was so terrible and didn't hold up at all. But the idea with Kurzweil and all of these futurists kind of being rock stars right now.
Weekend at Bernie's?
Lawnmower Man.
Yes.
Lawnmower Man is ripe for the new, like, you could kill Lawnmower Man right now.
Yeah.
Because it was terrible.
What was it, Brian Fahey?
No offense to Fahey.
He did the best he could,
He did a decent amount. But so the whole concept of the singularity where people are uploading... I mean, they theorized by 2040. By 2040, they will be able to store a consciousness digitally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little aggressive. I'd say 2060, maybe. And that's providing we don't blow ourselves up or fucking car bomb ourselves into oblivion first. But if we make it to that stage, right? Like it took perfect time for Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The shit's in the news. People are a little afraid of it. You've got people who are like, who think it's the devil. You've got people who like are afraid that they will still lose their what makes them alive, their consciousness. You know, they'll lose that. If you can copy it, what makes us unique? There's all these questions. And it is the perfect time for a good remake of Lawnmower Man.
I'd like to make a good remake of Citizen Kane. Maybe Gone with the Wind. I don't know. Casablanca.
Let's take bad movies.
Make it in color.
Well, take bad movies. That's what I'm saying. That's why Ocean's 11 was awesome.
Yes.
Because it was not good.
No.
It was the Rat Pack fucking around and getting paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know what? Let's do it again.
With the contemporary Rat Pack.
And it worked.
Fucking around getting paid for it. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, I champion the Lawnmower Man. Let's do that.
Rob brings up another good one, Johnny Mnemonic, more true to the original story. Same thing, though. Same realm.
But if I'm going to do Johnny Mnemonic as a remake, mm-hmm. I'd rather just make Snow Crash.
Yeah. Here's my problem with Johnny Mnemonic. Johnny Mnemonic, his brain was used because of capacity.
Yeah.
At the time, 4 gigabytes was like so much space you couldn't believe it. And yes, Snow Crash, I want to stay away from that. And that's not a, they never made it
into
a movie. So I would stay away from that personally because that's just a scary, I don't want that. Neil, I love you. I don't want to see it on the big screen. I like the screen in my head for that. You know, Diamond Age, those are all books that are like right on the cusp of being like really widely accepted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm kind of freaking out a little bit because they sold the rights to Ready Player One, which to me is in a weird way in the same realm as Snow Crash.
Mm-hmm.
It is pop punk, not cyberpunk. It's like pop punk.
Yeah.
So very interesting. Anyway, but the thing with Johnny Mnemonic is for $25, I can get something that's smaller than my pinky nail that holds 128 gigs. The human brain has been mapped and they think it's, I forget what the latest, it's like 15 terabytes or something like that. It's not, it doesn't even sound big anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're talking about, I have unlimited petabytes on my cloud storage. Now that would be interesting though, is Johnny Mnemonic with like cloud computing as a component of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's not necessarily like, I like the idea of him not necessarily being the storage medium, but the decryption medium.
Mm.
So you make Johnny Mnemonic the private key.
Yes.
So he's got a decryption algorithm or a decryption key in his head. That makes perfect sense. The data does, you don't even have to worry about it. It's stored somewhere nebulous, but then he's literally the key to this data.
Mm-hmm.
Then it becomes awesome.
Yeah.
And you could still say it fucks up his brain and he loses his childhood or whatever. But,
yeah.
You know, again, truer to the comic would be, or truer to the book rather, would be not Hollywood. So I don't know what to say about that. But, yeah, as far as remakes go, also, even though I've just professed my love to it, a Howard the Duck remake with James Gunn's new Howard that looks just like the comic book Howard, I would love to see that too.
Mm, I haven't seen that.
Hmm. Well, it was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, right.
So, it's not James Gunn. It's Marvel's new Howard. But that might be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one that actually follows a comic book plot, not, you know,
yeah,
not just
not
made
Hollywood.
From, yeah. So, you want to, what's the next one?
Yeah. Justin Everett writes in, what movie or TV show do you love, even though it would normally cause you to nerd rage at the scientific or logical fallacies in it?
Well, there's so many.
Interstellar for Andy.
Interstellar
for most recent.
I love it for different reasons, but yeah, it's a sci-fi movie.
But you nerd raged about.
I love Manimal, dude. You fucking remember Manimal?
No.
What?
No.
Early 80s, kind of the A-Team block. Mm-hmm. There was Riptide, Automan, Manimal. Manimal had the powers of all the animals of the Amazon,
right.
I think.
Right, yeah.
Because at the beginning, he was, like, taken up to a rock or some shit, and it was total, like, Tarzan bullshit, but he could turn into, through practical effects, which were awesome and terrible, he could turn into hawks and snakes and panthers, because that's what they had available. That, right. So that's really about all he could turn into. I think he might have turned into a spider once because they needed it for the scene. Misfits of Science. Terrible show. Loved it. Fucking Courtney Cox. Courtney Cox. Yeah. Yeah, that happened. And
Buck Rogers in the 21st century? Nah.
Well, the weird thing about Buck Rogers is for its time, like, because it did the whole time dilation thing.
Yeah.
Where he stayed young and came back to it. Kind of cool, mm-hmm. actually. Frankly, kind of fucking neat. Tweaky. Bitty, bitty. Mel Blanc.
Was that Mel?
Bitty. Hey, nice. Buck. They also addressed a couple of other things that I loved that never get addressed in sci-fi movies. They addressed that a person who evolved on a planet of high gravity would be like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a scene in Buck Rogers where Lee Majors, right? Yeah, or Buck. He fucking walks up to a bar and there's this guy there and he picks a fight with him because fuck it, it's the 80s. And dude fucking like roadhouses him all the fuck over the bar and he's a weakling on his own planet. Mm-hmm. But because of the gravity difference, he's like fucking super strong. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, until he deteriorates because of muscle loss and stuff like that, but kind of neat.
I think the only one in recent time that I can think of, and I'd have to go back and watch it again, which I want to do. Well, some of me wants to and some of me doesn't want to, and that's the new Godzilla movie, because the douchebag protagonist is an emotionless automaton that mm-hmm. I don't give two shits about.
Yep.
But I do love the monster, and that's what I remember from my childhood. Mm-hmm. But I still want to see what the time difference was, because I don't think it was more than 24 hours, that the U.S. Naval Fleet made it from the Pacific Rim
yeah.
to San Francisco yep. in like a day.
Did you see, by the way, the news? Japan, for the first time in 20 years or so, is remaking a Godzilla film.
Sweet.
Actual Japanese Toei?
Taiko?
No, it's not Taiko. I think it's Toei Entertainment. Okay. Sandy Frank, I know, is the American company that used to import them.
Mm.
But I think it's Toei Entertainment or something. They are making a new fucking Godzilla in Japan.
Nice. But yeah, normally I don't nerd rage about all that, because I just look at it and I go, it's its own thing. Mm-hmm. And so long as it doesn't take me out, which that whole time thing did, right. It took me. I was like, there's no fucking way they could have kept up with him. I don't care if he is nuclear powered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he gets across because he swims and he doesn't have whatever. Yeah, I don't know. But
the only suspension of disbelief thing I can put in is that they rode his wake.
Yeah.
That's it.
But the entire fleet is not going to ride his wake.
Yeah, I know.
So
you're going to lose people anyway. I mean, he's a biological creature.
Yeah.
I will say that there are movies that just don't need remade because they are perfect in their time. And they are classics. Like, your Citizen Kane joke actually applies to a lot of newer films.
Sure.
Jaws. Never remake Jaws.
No.
Never.
Never remake Jurassic Parks.
I was going to bring up Jurassic Park because seriously, it holds up. The brachiosaurs are a little cheesy looking, but it's puppets and they fucking hold up. It mm-hmm. looks good. I've watched it on Blu-ray. You know what doesn't hold up on Blu-ray? Lord of the fucking Rings.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is a parade of wig nets and fucking zippers and everything on Blu-ray. You watch it on DVD, it is fucking flawless, fabulous, amazing. You watch it on Blu-ray, all of the edges are there. Don't remake Alien. Fuck, no. Never remake Alien. Don't even make more Alien. We're done with that. We're good. But, like, those movies are so good in their time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in all
Or time. Rambo.
Yeah.
Don't make remake. I mean, it doesn't even have to be
the remake was pretty good. I haven't watched it, but. I actually heard the remake of... Well, it's not a remake, right?
It's not a remake.
It's a sequel.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah. I watched... I do have to admit, I watched Total Recall. Mm-hmm. That actually falls into the remake... I need to watch the remake, but that movie totally was not a timeless movie. Like, a lot of nerds are like, don't remake it, it's the best. No, it was pretty garbage.
Yeah.
It was,
Dread, total decent remake.
Oh, well, Dread wasn't even a remake.
No.
Dread was a reboot.
Yeah.
And it was rebooted from the comic book.
Which
Dread
was awesome.
Dread is fabulous.
Yeah.
Judge Dread is garbage. The Stallone Dread is... Yeah. The Stallone Judge Dread is terrible. Dread is fucking awesome. And if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Yeah.
My kid was having his appendix out, and we were waiting. We had to wait because we were taking a flight down.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't sleep because, of course, we're nervous because,
right,
you know, my son's getting his appendix out. And so I was up all night, and we watched Dread, and it was fucking great.
Yeah. Loved it.
Oh, so good. So good. Toho, not Toei. Toho is Godzilla. Thank you. Thank you, Seth. But yeah, I mean, I think that there are plenty of movies that just should not be touched for remakes.
Mm-hmm.
There are movies you shouldn't make sequels to. Like, Clerks should have never had a Clerks 2. And now I hear there's a Clerks 3 in the works.
Mm.
Never should have had a Clerks 2.
No.
Clerks, frankly, I prefer...
The animated series.
Yeah, that was great. I prefer the Down Note Clerks. The original ending
mm-hmm.
is a random death at the end. So Randall leaves, and Brian O'Halloran's character just gets plugged by a random thug.
Yeah.
And I mean thug in the actual sense of thug, not in the new GOP, this is how we say the N-word without saying the N-word sense of thug.
Right.
Because it was a scrawny little white dude who just comes in to hold up the store. I wonder if it was... I don't remember if it was D.P. David Klein again. It might have been. D.P. David Klein. That's what he's credited as.
David Klein.
David Klein, the director of photography, who has gone on to do much bigger and more awesome things, was featured in the first Clerks as the guy who comes in asking for hubcaps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty funny. But this is like, you don't even need sequels to a lot of stuff. Fucking remakes, man. There are a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have a new question instigator, I believe.
What?
Ben Clements.
Ben.
I don't believe has ever offered a question. So thank you very much for this next question. How do you feel about the level of... How do you feel about the level of proliferation for computer animation in today's cinema? Fuck it.
I'm not going to say fuck it. Computer animation is the MSG of the toolbox. Okay? A lot of film people think it's bad for you and it'll give you a stroke. It's a flavor enhancer.
Hey.
Hear me out. It's a flit. Well.
Too soon.
Yeah. You didn't have a stroke. You had an AT whatever.
TIA.
TIA.
According to my doctor, fuck that. Quit playing it safe. You had a stroke.
You had a TMI. Okay?
I did have a TMI.
And so anyway. That being said, I only say stroke. That's not even what people thought it was. But for some reason in Beetlejuice, they said, I'm going to get a stroke from all the MSG in this food. And that stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't they, it was Lydia Dietz who said that. And it stuck with me probably because I really had a crush on Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
But it is a flavor enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
CGI. There are two ways you can view this. There are CGI movies, which are all CGI. Who cares? Fine, great, good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Go nuts. Train my dragon. I don't care. Do mm-hmm. whatever you want. Then there are movies with CGI. Now, we got a bad taste in our mouths from shit like The Scorpion King, which is literally some of the worst CGI. And this brings us back to Lawnmower Man. Lawnmower mm-hmm. Man had terrible, amazing stories style CGI. Like,
yeah.
Awful. God, just so bad. But the CGI in Jurassic Park for everything but the full brachiosaurus
mm-hmm.
was just additive. You had puppets.
Sure.
And then you had all the CGI stuff that made it look good. George Lucas went over the top with his remakes.
Mm-hmm.
Or not remakes, but you know, remasters, special editions. He went over the top and made too much shit CGI.
Yeah.
What he could have done is added subtle CGI elements to existing practical elements, and it would have looked really good.
Yes.
Don't have a fucking weird ass cantina song with full CGI characters. That was stupid.
Yeah.
But maybe go back to the elephant, add a second trunk or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do something weird with that, or add new, like a couple of subtle CGI characters in the bar, but don't have a giant fucking shaved bantha or whatever the fuck those giant lizards were. Don't have that, like, as a main focal point.
Right.
CGI should be subtle and in the background.
Yes, or, like in The Hobbit,
mm-hmm.
fuck you,
yeah,
Peter Jackson, for taking the awesome real-world orcs,
yep,
the actual practical orcs yep. that existed in three movies prior, and replaced them with CGI things that made me want to vomit when I sat in the theater. Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, you got to have that CGI. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. I was taking the proliferation of it in,
yeah.
in how bad it's gotten that now, everyone just goes, oh, well, we don't have a budget. Let's CGI the shit out of it. In its place, as a tool, as a seasoning.
Yes.
Yes. Extending scenes and making, you know, that city in the background way cool when you're shooting in a dairy farm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's awesome. I love that stuff, and we've gotten really good at it.
I would even go a step further, and I would say that... So, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is a good example of a heavy CGI movie that worked.
Mm-hmm.
It had heavy CGI, but the characters, like, aside from Rocket, the characters were wearing practical makeup. Anything that got close had a practical aspect to it. Heavy CGI, but done in a way that worked. Plus, the subject mm-hmm. matter really fit it.
Right.
Hobbit, look at Lord of the Rings and look at Hobbit, okay? Lord of the Rings feels lived in. It feels real. It feels like a real world. Hobbit yeah. is shiny plastic bullshit.
Yep.
And Ian McClellan and his rant about it was about the best thing I've ever heard. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't. Mm-hmm. He was acting alone almost all of the time. On Lord of the Rings, everybody was there.
Yeah.
They built these practical sets with forced perspective, and it was fucking brilliant and beautiful, and I'm sure expensive. But it was fucking amazing, and the acting came through because they were in the room together. It mm-hmm. was awesome. Hobbit, they're not even in the room together. Everyone's on a fucking green screen. Alone. Yeah. It's like recording audio. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That being said, like, I don't like Alien vs. Predator as a movie, but Alien vs. Predator is a great example of combo practical CGI. The
mm-hmm.
Queen was both practical and enhanced by CGI and yeah. looked great.
Yeah.
So I love CGI as a tool. Going back to one thing you said, though, that whole fact that it's cheaper,
mm-hmm.
quit fucking underselling and underbidding each other. Rhythm and Hughes, you don't have a business anymore
yeah.
because you keep fighting to get your name out so hard. Because you want, you know, these companies want movies that are full CGI because it pays, you know, it's work for them. But then they underbid each other so much that it's not profitable work for them.
Right. And my question is, when I see the special effects, let's just go with Alien.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't really CGI in there.
Right.
Okay. You got Stan Winston Studios that employs, you know, 20, 30 people. Sure, okay. And they made all that stuff mm-hmm. and you bought all that stuff. Okay. You look at the CGI shit and there's 30 people just to make your title sequence.
Yeah.
That's not even farming out XYZ to this that just did shading and light. And then this one mm-hmm. that did all the explosive stuff.
Exactly.
And then this one that did all the animatronic cityscapes. Right. And it's like, you can't fucking tell me that that is cheaper than...
Well, that's the sad part, is it is. Because they,
because
underbid
they
each,
keep underbidding,
they keep underbidding
yeah.
each other. It's like working for free.
Yeah.
It's when you work... When enough people in a town work for free, that becomes the average pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When enough of these companies fight so hard for undercutting each other and getting the lowest bid, that becomes the average pay. Now, I'm not a proponent of price fixing. Like, you know,
right.
you should be allowed absolutely to set your own price, but fucking A, quit setting a non-livable profit off of this stuff because you're making people think that what you do is cheap. You're
mm-hmm.
making people think that, oh, we'll just do it in post. We'll just do it with this. It's cheaper. If I have a budget up front with an actual, like, realistic special effects budget that is based on making sure that every person who touches this has a livable wage,
mm-hmm.
okay? suddenly it becomes way more expensive.
Yeah.
Right? Because all of those names, which, like you said, there are thousands of names, those people all get paid in a good world.
Right. Or don't, because it's farmed out to third world countries where they're all, it's the child labor of
I was going
to
bring
the
that
movies.
Up,
so.
Because this is essentially the outsourcing channel for studios.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing they can outsource. You can't go to Hyderabad and say, you're our new George Clooney.
Yeah.
Though that would be awesome, and you should really do that. Whatever studio is currently got George Clooney on contract, I would love a Hyderabad version of that. That would be great. But you can't do that. And you can't do it with practical effects. Because you can't say, oh, we're going to fly in a bunch of people, you know, from China to do a bunch of practice. No, that doesn't work. You have to hire local to do practical effects. So it's their outsourcing, which they get a tax break for. I wonder who put that in place.
Mm-hmm.
Not to get too political, but we know who put
George
that
in George Clooney.
Yeah, fucking hey, George, what is wrong with you?
The one time that I saw
staring at goats.
That kind of, and I, you know, this could be a topic for another day, and you may hate me after this one, but I love Tron Legacy.
I haven't seen it, so I can't hate you.
And while...
So bringing back people, then.
While it didn't succeed 100%,
mm-hmm.
I saw it, I accepted the fact that it wasn't 100%, and I moved on. I thought was a brilliant way of bringing back the Jeff Bridges of the original Tron by doing this, and they hit it. It was a lot of shadows, but it worked enough, and you had his voice, and you could do the audio spectral thing and youthen up a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good way of, we want to stay true to the story. We're not going to make this other thing. We're going to throw this in. It'll be there. We don't have the technology to pull it off 100%.
Yeah.
We're going to make everything else look amazing. This is going to come out at 75%. And we just hope you're with us for the ride. And I was like, okay, I accept that.
Here's my problem.
But Hobbit? No, can't accept that.
Well, dude, the new Hobbit anyway. Have you seen the Grand Theft Chariot scene from the fucking trailer where it's just a gigantic...
I stay away from those trailers
It's
now.
A gigantic CGI clusterfuck. It looks like you're playing Dragon Age. It's fucking garbage.
Although I do want to go to Cinerama and watch all of the Hobbits.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, that's true.
Going up.
I'm not going to because I know other people who are, so... I just want people to restore David Warner, just in general. I want more David Warner everywhere.
Cool.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about Tron and restoring people, though, I want David Warner from Time Bandits restored.
I don't
remember. Lasers, 8 a.m., day one.
Don't know who.
Wasting your time with butterflies. He was the evil guy in... Have you not seen Time Bandits?
Yeah. Okay. A long time ago.
That's a really big dragon for your urethra. So you better answer this right. Because
I've seen Time Bandits. I love Terry Gilliam. In fact, I want to see his new film.
David Warner's the evil guy in that. Who
was he also the evil guy in Tron?
Yes.
Was he the MCP?
He wasn't the big giant thing. He was the guy in red.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want to bring him back.
Yeah. He's great. He's been in a bunch of other stuff too.
True.
So. Also, Rob really quickly says, lose the digital blood. Agreed. Practical blood, always. Love practical blood.
You mean the 300 blood?
Lose digital blood. Fucking lose GoPro footage. I'm sorry. If the GoPro is strapped to a dude climbing, if it's part of the story where a guy's like rock climbing and happens to have a GoPro and you see that footage in the film, fine. Great. Great. But if you have an actual budget, not having a budget's the other excuse. If you have an actual budget, lose the fucking GoPro footage. It looks like shit. And I hate people we're experimenting. I'm sure what happened is GoPro's like, hey, we'll give you guys like 40 grand, 50 grand to use some footage in your film.
Oh, I wish we'd done that for depth.
No, you wouldn't have gotten it for depth. It's got to be really big shit.
No, but when we used it, it was good and Brian Lewis got to use it and it's awesome.
Well, again, it's probably used in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in the
It wasn't
Hobbit,
the primary camera.
In The Hobbit, when they go into the river,
mm-hmm.
they fucking throw GoPro footage at you. And it's shit.
Yeah.
And it's... The Hobbit has a huge budget. Like, The Hobbit could feed Africa for like 5 years, budget-wise. And that's not even much of an exaggeration. That's pretty close to true. So, you've got this huge, huge, like, hundreds of millions of dollar single movie, mm-hmm. almost probably a billion extrapolated out to the entire three movies, and you can't just put a fucking red in a water housing and throw it in the river. You gotta use GoPros. And it was an experiment. So, I think that what happened was GoPro probably paid for that.
Yeah.
This is all conspiracy speculation on my part. GoPro probably paid for that,
mm-hmm.
but it looks like crap.
Yeah.
So, stop doing that.
Okay, well, with this and with the other things that we need to do before we go do the other fun thing that we're doing tonight after this.
Okay.
We're past an hour. We're good.
Let's do it. Cool. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Please have a safe winter as Neil, if you're out there. Well, I'm not done talking to people yet.
Oh, okay.
Just to give you guys a little clue about Neil's our upcoming not people. People that listen to us. Neil doesn't listen to us.
No, that's true.
Yet. If you our month may be a little rocky because it is holiday month. Next Sunday, I'll be in Idaho next weekend, but I will be back, provided there are no airline issues, in time for the podcast. As we get closer to Christmas, we may have some hiccups, so just prepare for that. Dead FM, go check that out, because mm-hmm. we will continue to make stuff for that. And also, again, one last push, Evan and Bobby, Theater Off Jackson, brownpapertickets.com. Go see it if you're in Seattle.
And and I'm filming Sunday, but should be back.
Cool.
I think we're done by 5.
Cool.
But, yeah.
Well, my plane doesn't even leave Idaho until 4:15 Seattle time. So it'll be around 8:00 again.
Yep.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening, please come on our podcast, because I really want to have a conversation about Interstellar with you.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And I think I want to invite you over for spaghetti.
Can I come?
No.